I always find it so interesting how we so easily compartmentalize the liturgical year. I mean, right now, we're in ordinary time where we hear gospels on various topics, from Jesus' healings to the teachings of Jesus to accounts of this band of fishermen and tax collectors walking the back roads of Galilee with the Messiah. Soon, we'll embark upon another Advent, where we'll hear readings from the Old and the New Testaments about the coming of the Messiah. Then we'll celebrate Christmas once again. We'll hear from the three kings and then move quickly on toward Ash Wednesday and Lent, and then the highest feast day of the whole year, the Easter Vigil. We'll then travel through the Easter season, arriving finally at Pentecost, and then we'll be back in ordinary time, where we find ourselves today. We like this tidy, quite organized, predictable timetable in our worship of God. At the very least, it helps us to keep the decorations here at the church and at home organized up in our attics and in our garage closets. But there is a pitfall to this. We can easily box God into his little 3 weeks for Christmas and his 7 weeks for celebrating the resurrection, and even shorter little windows for things like Pentecost and Corpus Christi and Trinity Sunday, along with the rest of the feast days throughout the year. If you really look at it, though, every Sunday would seem to be like Corpus Christi Sunday. And every day should be All Saints' Day. Every week should be like Holy Week, and we should always be somewhat engaged in penance as if Lent is year-around. And the most clear example of this is the Incarnation, God becoming one of us, Jesus. Yes, there was a moment when the Incarnation happened. I suppose the nearest feast would be the Annunciation, March 25th, the day when the angel Gabriel came to Mary to tell her that she was pregnant. That's when the Incarnation actually happened. Then, of course, we consider the Incarnation at the birth of Jesus, Christmas, December 25th, when Mary gave birth to a little baby and God becomes one of us. But the fact is, that moment, like all moments in salvation history, has a much broader theological reality. That moment happens, the Incarnation, over and over and over again, and it actually permeates all of God's time and space. Let me explain. Over the past couple of weeks, our adult catechesis programs have kicked back into gear, and I was asked to teach three of these classes, one for RCIA, one for adult confirmation, and one for our marriage prep program. And in these three classes, totally different subjects, this broad consideration of the Incarnation was the very center of my thoughts. So RCIA class was about revelation, how God reveals himself in Scripture and tradition, how God, rather than there being just a single point of revelation that occurred once way back when, God is always revealing himself. The nature of God is to constantly reveal himself over and over and over again. Then, for confirmation class, I was asked to speak on creation from the book of Genesis. And in that session, I also explained that God is always creating, always revealing himself, always arriving in our midst through the created world around us. That God's nature is to give rise to all that is over and over and over. Imagine Half Dome in Yosemite Valley, and you got your old projector camera, and there's Half Dome looking so still, so complete, so immovable, and you film Half Dome on this old camera with the actual film in it, you film it frame after frame after frame. The film is running through your camera, and you're filming it frame after frame, and that makes up a video of, say, 50 frames. Now, Half Dome is just sitting there, seemingly lifeless, immovable. And yet, the opposite is true. With each frame that's laid over top of the next frame, which is laid over top of the next frame, which is laid over top of the next frame, Half Dome is actually becoming. Somehow, Half Dome is being created again and again with each frame. This is how it is with God. Then I went to my marriage prep class and I talked to the 12 couples preparing for marriage. And in that class, I spoke of the sacraments, that we never consider the sacraments to be just one thing celebrated independent of all other sacraments, that somehow each sacrament is a remembrance. Think of that word, remembering, putting back together, remanifesting that singular moment when Christ himself instituted the sacrament. When we celebrate Mass, for example, it's never a new Eucharist. It's the one Eucharist remembered, put back together, recreated, reincarnated over and over and over and over again. Now, all of this has to do with a classic notion in theology called creatio continuo, or continuous creation. St. Thomas Aquinas explained that creation is in a continuous process of birth. Bishop Barron explains God's nature, that his nature is to give rise to all that is, even as we speak. You are always becoming. This place here, it seems so static, and yet it is always becoming. And God is ever revealing himself in us and in this, like a flower that never ceases to bloom. Benedict XVI would call this the eternal presence of God. Now, why would I spend all this time, not 8 minutes, explaining to you this abstract theology and spirituality? Because this is precisely what is happening in our stories from Scripture today. In both the first reading from Numbers and the Gospel from Mark, we hear about these people who are working in God's name. In the Old Testament, these two secondary characters, Eldad and Medad, Moses, of course, tells the 70 elders, who are irritated by Eldad and Medad, he tells them to let them be. God is revealing himself through the work of these two men. Then in the gospel, we hear St. John report to Jesus that some outsiders are going around doing the work of Jesus. And Jesus, of course, responds by telling John, let them be. God is revealing himself through them. Here's the point. When we cease to see that God is always revealing himself, when we cease to recognize, by the way, that's even what the word recognize means, recognition, to rethink the same thing that once happened. When we cease to see that he is always remembering himself, always being born in us and in the created world, then we easily begin to see things as contrary to him, things unnecessary, things outside of his plan, things insignificant and even irritating to us. That's what they were thinking about Eldad and Medad in the book of Numbers, and that's what John was thinking about these people going out and casting out demons in Jesus' name. They were irritated by them because they couldn't see that God was actually revealing himself through them. He was continuo creatio. He was continuing to create through the work of these people. But when we see that God is continuously creating in all people and all things, when we understand God's nature to be constantly revealing himself, to be always incarnating himself into the created world, then all things come into a oneness of revelation. They all become the work of God in us, among us, and through us. This is why St. Paul says to his letter to the Colossians, "For in him all things were created. He is before all things, and in him all things are being held together." This is a really, really important line. This is arguably, if someone were to ever ask you, name me one scripture passage that tells the whole story of salvation, it would be this line from St. Paul. In him, all things were created. He is before all things, and in him, all things are being held together. This is real theology. All things being held together as we speak, because he's giving rise to all things, even the things that Eldad and Medad and St. John were so concerned about. When the work of God is happening, which is really everything, because God is giving rise to everything, when we do the work of God, when anyone does the work of God, whether it be me or Father Doug or Father Jesse or Deacon Rob or any of you or anyone or anything, when God is revealed through anyone or anything, God recreates. God continues to actualize his thought into being. So, in this case, every day is the first day. Every day is Christmas. You ever meet an Italian from Italy? They keep their nativity scenes up 365 days a year. Every day is Christmas. Every day is the resurrection. St. John Paul II would say that our being, made in the image and likeness of God, is always made known in our work, in the things that we do. So when we do true work, Eldad and Medad, and those unnamed people in the gospel doing the work of God by casting out demons, they are actually cooperating with God. They are co-creating with God. They are participating in God's ongoing creation and providence. Now, this is a big deal. And this is why Moses and the new Moses, Jesus, tells the faithful in each of our stories today, don't stop them. I am in them, and I am creating through them. Don't stop them. People are healed and reintroduced into the community. Demons are cast out, and those people are being made new. Loaves and fish are being made into food for all. God is creating, ever revealing, making himself known over and over and over again. It's as if God is saying to you and me today, don't prevent my work from being done. I am being born at every moment and every day. Let me give rise to myself in all things through you. This is my work. This is the work of God. And the real story is that we are always part of that work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.